Hi, everybody. Welcome to Domain Sharpened. Thank you for tuning into the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Sherpa short titled Tools of the Trade, where Drew and I are joined by Matt Gould of Unstoppable Domains. On today's show, we talk about what's going on with Unstoppable, their direction for the future, and some of the new AI tools they have available for their customers. On that note, we talk about AI tools in general and how it's easier than ever to build a website to better harness the value of premium domain names. We also discuss the future of AI models and applications, the direction the space is heading, and how that may impact domain names into the future. And of course, we talk about .AI domain names and the current market trends involving those. All that and more is coming up on today's show. And remember, you're listening to the audio version of this podcast. You can also watch the video version at DomainSherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at DS.TV. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button, the subscribe button where you can, and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Skiv.com, which provide search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. And in line with today's show, big shout out to Unstoppable Domains, the ICANN accredited registrar that gives domainers powerful tools and the lowest pricing in the industry. Get $7.99.com back orders, expired auctions, and tech you can't get anywhere else, like AI search, AI outbounding, and the new AI site builder, which is very much in line with what we talked about on today's show. They're a one-stop shop for managing costs and boosting sales. Also, big shout out to DNX.com. DNX is the domain name intelligence platform featuring all-in-one search results from the top marketplaces, including GoDaddy, Cito, and Atom. DNX is the most advanced way to find and acquire your domain name, so go to DNX.com today. And also, big shout out to Appraise.net, instant AI-powered domain appraisals with retail price ranges and detailed justification for every name. Whether you're buying, selling, or building your portfolio, know what your domains are really worth. Beyond the range, each appraisal includes a breakdown of the domain's multicultural reach, strengths and weaknesses, and a market analysis covering the best use case, industry, and likely buyer profile. And get your first month for just $1 at Appraise.net/DomainSherpa. And last, but certainly not least, big shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at MediaOptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and of course, domain investing. And finally, we've got NamesCon 2026 taking place in Miami, November 11th and 12th. Go to NamesCon.com for more information and to register. So with all that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J On, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, and I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Sherpa short, where we pick a domain topic, story, some kind of angle to get into, and we dive into that for a bit. And on today's show, super exciting, because we have the one and only squad from Unstoppable Domains, the modern ICANN accredited registrar that puts domainers in control, returning the power of the internet to the people, with the one and only Matt Gould. But let me go ahead and introduce my co-host first. Over to my left, we got my boy Andrew Rosner, aka Morpheus, aka the Dirk Diggler of digital assets, aka Bob Lee Swagger the Sniper, aka Drew. Drew got what I need, aka every Rosner has his thorn. Never gonna give Drew up. Get Rick Rolled, Greybeard, the domain pirate, the domain Don. In the building. What's going on, man? How are you?
I have a domain offer you can't refuse.
Oh, I am good. I'm good. I'm we actually had a few good sales in the last 48 hours.
Boom, let's go.
And yeah, all's well. All's well. Just watching the world melt up. Melt up.
Yeah, I think you're going to keep having good sales because there's just so much momentum behind the tech bubble in AI right now, right?
Yeah, huge.
And I remember last time we were on here, we were talking about .AI domain names and .com domain names. I'm actually kind of curious what you guys are seeing. I know that Adam had some data, but it just looks like all the traditional TLDs that have been selling are continuing to sell well. Mm-hmm. And then we're seeing new high prices on everything. We had a couple of sales on Unstoppable Domains that have been our biggest sales ever. I should have brought them with me, but we've had.
I saw a tweet on one of them like a week or two ago, where I think Brady had mentioned it was the biggest sale ever. Yeah,
we had our first few six figure sales through our platform, which is big, right? Because we're brand new.
Totally.
But we're also just seeing values go up. I think probably some more eight figure domain sales this year, and you would know better than I know, but we didn't see that back in 2019, even.
Dude, listen, I've been doing this, you know, over 20 years. And, you know, an eight-figure sale was, you know, it was a pig with wings. You know what I'm saying? That didn't happen. That was a once every few years there was a, I mean, I remember when sex.com sold for $13 million, that shit was like, that was news in the domain industry for 5 years plus. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Jeff Gabriel's still bragging about it. And, and that was like 2013. That was 13 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. And now, you know, I mean, we've had, I think, 3 8-figure sales this year so far.
Wow.
And it's June.
Yeah. We got some. Well, real quick, let's continue.
Maybe one of them was the end line.
We're going to continue on this, but let me finish with the intros real quick. I mentioned him already. You know, last but not least, we got the one and only Matt Gould, a.k.a. Goldfinger, a.k.a. Roz Al Gould, a.k.a. Gould's out for summer, a.k.a. I ain't saying he's a gold digger, but he ain't messing with no broke founder and CEO of Unstoppable Domains in the house. And what's going on with you, man? How are you?
Doing good. Like, I was just talking with Drew. Everything is AI now in tech, like everything. I think we even said this last time, and it's, you know, 90% of the attention is AI. You'll see our business. We've been pushing out a lot of AI products. So last year we did a lot of promotions, and we're very thankful for the domainer community helping us build a base in the domain industry here. And then this year we had to pick a direction. Like, and I was talking to Michael Seiger like January this year. I think it was at ICA, and I was saying, you know, like, we've just been in growth mode in 2025, 2026. We got to pick a direction. Where are we going to focus? Where do we think there's going to be some opportunities here? And we've really started pushing out a lot of AI tools. So I think we have some, like, you know, we do back orders. We have, we've pushed out products for AI search and back orders. We do like different discovery to help you take your portfolio and like find new names using AI, which has been big. We just have a AI sales bot that will generate leads for you for your domain name portfolio to try to help do outbounding, because I know that's kind of like lower end, but still it's a big part of
that. That's one of the things I wanted to discuss today, if you want to get into it.
Sure. Yeah, I'm open to it.
Yeah,
but well, I don't know if you want to keep rattling off all the features you guys are building.
No, we're good. I'm just saying we had to pick a direction, and we said we're going to try to be the registrar that has more AI tools, right? And that's the direction where we've been pushing. And that's a differentiator. You know, you look at the other places that are out there, you know, GoDaddy's always going to be GoDaddy. You got Adam really focusing on their secondary marketplace. And we're just trying to move into this AI tools spot and more.
Sure.
Yeah, that or that.
Yeah, and I mean, look, full disclosure, obviously, you know, Unstoppable is a sponsor. Drew's an investor. You know, we've known you guys for a long, long time. And, you know, we're obviously fans of what you guys do. And, you know, we even mentioned it, and you would have heard it in the intro to the show prior to getting the guys on. You know, you guys have AI search, AI outbounding, AI site builder. I mean, you guys are definitely leaning in on the AI piece, which, you know, makes sense. I mean, it's you know, we've talked about it a lot, like even in the context of .AI domains. And, you know, it's, you know, whether it's a trend in, you know, AI and as from a tooling perspective, maybe from a naming perspective, it's one thing, but from a, you know, call it like a feature tools, you know, the pieces that are going to continue to support and, you know, implement businesses and everything else, like, it's only going to continue to grow, right? And it's just a question of how that exactly happens. But from a tooling, feature application standpoint, it's like, we're just getting started, it seems like, you know, and the folks that do it the best are going to take the most advantage, you know?
Well, we're also, it's just becoming so much easier to launch your website, right? Mm-hmm. And that just means there's going to be a lot more websites built. And I think I said the same thing last time I was on here, is that I think because of AI, people are just going to write 10x more software, right? Or, you know, 100 times more software.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that already. And so we had to move in that direction. And so, you know, a lot of people, before they buy a domain name, they'll build a first, you know, version of their website or whatnot. And so we said, okay, we need to support that. And if you look at some of the largest registrars for domain names, I think is it name.com is like one of the really fast growing registrars. And they're working with a lot of these companies that do that do website building, like Replit and Lovable and Emergent and these other places. And so having being able to support that full flow for the entrepreneurs who end up being the people who buy domain names from people seems to be important for us. And so we've been picking that up. But I'll just tell you, it's so much easier to build a website now. I think it's going to take a little while for normal people to catch on. But I mean, I built a couple of websites for myself personally that I would not have built 3 or 4 years ago because it'd take too much time. And now I can do it in a weekend. And so my demand for domain names has gone up personally a little bit because I'm now able to just build side projects so much easier. And that is just going to apply, I mean, I think to most people. So we'll see. I think it's going to take a little while for it to come through the pipe, but it's definitely coming.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Drew's talked about it. I mean, he built a site with Lovable, and I did a site recently.
I've got two now. And then Billy built like a whole tool with an app and a thing in Lovable. And it's like, what? That's crazy.
Yeah. He built an email, like checking email deliverability tool that he basically built over the course of like 2 weeks. I mean, he put some work into it, but I mean, you're talking about something that you would have cost in the past six figures to, you know, develop or, you know, having 100%. A team. Yeah. And he did it himself, and it's badass. And it's like, basically now, you know, we've got our own internal tool for, you know, for all of our outbounding sales stuff to just make sure, you know, our emails are actually hitting inboxes. And I mean, and there's pieces and features.
You know, interestingly, though, one of the things that I've noticed through, for the first time in my life, trying to build websites myself and tinkering with this stuff is this is where the rubber meets the road in terms of like on-chain payments. So like, you know, it was a great narrative and it was a great story for Bitcoin and for crypto for, you know, the last 15 years. But it wasn't really a necessity. It was like something everybody felt should be better, or something everybody felt we needed, even though, you know, but it wasn't a need as much as a want. And things don't really happen until they're a need. And I think it's now a need. And I think it's very obvious. Like, a lot of these websites that are going to be built, they're not going to be huge. You know what I mean? We're not talking about the next Yahoo. We're talking about somebody that found a little niche and they just happen to be somebody that's really qualified to build something to solve for that niche, whether that's information or a product or a service. And I think you're going to have a lot of people with a lot of those little niches, and they're going to be relatively hands off. And all of that's going to require automated payments. It's like, I've got this little code snippet that I've created that you are going to want to use because it's going to save you hours and hours of your own time. And you're going to borrow it, but you're not going to do it yourself or even make a conscious decision. Your agentic website builder is going to pull that little piece of code and put it into your tool, and they're going to pay a nickel to the guy that built it, right? And you're not even going to know about it. And this is, it's just like all of these things, there's going to be all of these things that we as individual people are going to do is be like, pull together these things and build this, and it's going to happen. All of the payments that are required are going to have to be automated. They're going to have to be done in an on-chain fashion that allows, you know, micropayments. And
I think the leaders here are going to be Stripe and Coinbase.
Yeah,
totally. And I still haven't seen anything out of them that's like, oh, this is it, you know. But they are continuing to work on it, and I honestly think Stripe is going to do a good job. Actually, a big thing that happened is with the new model, you know, Mythos that came out, that they just banned. They banned it, are you right?
Fable and Mythos, yeah.
Well, I will tell you, everyone who works in DeFi right now is basically, all the investors are saying, don't put any of your money in DeFi for the next year. Because these computer programs are going to be able to hack those smart contracts. So
that's like every vulnerability it's possible.
Yeah, so I think in the next year or two, like short term, there's going to have to be a whole lot of rebuilding. But then I think long term, I honestly think the winners are going to be the new the new chains. Like, I think Stripe has their own. I think it's called Tempo. And I think that's going to be...
And Base from Coinbase.
Yeah, yeah. And they're going to be focused on the enterprise use case of just making payments really simple for like 5-cent payments, right? And then also enable them for... So the AI can make those decisions for you, right?
Exactly.
But that's finally coming on those microtransactions. I'll be honest, the old school DeFi, all the 2021 stuff that happened, all the 2017 things that happened in crypto, all of that got tried and it's basically been superseded, right? I don't think any of that is going to come back. Hyperliquid's another like interesting one, and I hate to mention names because everyone is going to go.
Yeah.
So I probably shouldn't have said anything.
Not financial advice.
Yeah, yeah, we can scrub that one. But like putting stocks on chain, right? That's a good idea too. Because if you saw SpaceX, you could trade SpaceX perps prior to SpaceX launching on the NASDAQ. And that shit is up like 40%, right? You know, like SpaceX, the stock, right? And yeah, so the on-chain, it's not like some token or anything. It's like the on-chain SpaceX is just following the stock price. And that's cool because I could not buy SpaceX. I didn't get any SpaceX allotment from my
broker. Where were the perps trading though before the IPO? Do you know? Like the day of the IPO?
They were trading, they were basically trading at the correct price. So
oh, really?
They traded like 160. And if you look, when it came out that day, it was priced at 135, but it closed the day at 160. So the stock was trading at 160, but now it's trading at over 200. You know,
yeah, it's crazy.
But you could have gotten in on the SpaceX perps at like 1 trillion valuation, which would have been under 100. You know, so
yeah,
you could
have doubled.
Look, we have this problem where if your lifestyle is based on your income, you're basically screwed. And if your lifestyle is based on assets, you're doing great. Right. So if you own a whole bunch of domains, doing good. Right. If you own a whole bunch of NASDAQ, right, you're doing good. If you
own a whole bunch of good domains, you're doing good. I got a whole bunch of people that email me every day. A whole bunch of domains and they ain't doing good.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you have good assets, you're doing great. But if you're on income, if you're relying on your wages, you're just getting destroyed by the inflation. Value. Yeah. And people can't get access to these companies, right? Like, so, you know, I wrote some checks into some of these private companies early, right? And so like, I'm doing good, but not everybody can get into the funding rounds on some of these private, you know, venture companies, especially in AI. It's been bad, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you didn't get into the AI wave, they're letting you buy in SpaceX at 2 trillion. Right. But you missed the whole move you missed the move from 10 billion to 2 trillion. I mean, that's a pretty big, you missed the meat of it. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that all makes sense.
I think, take it back to the beginning of the conversation where you said, you know, the AI boom. I mean, look, it is shocking how easy it is to now build a new website, a really high functioning website with lots of value. And you pair that with a great domain and you've got a business. And so that's really the underlying principle that's driving the market. I think that is basically up and to the right for a while. And even if we get a big market correction, I think that intrinsic truth, which is like, okay, there's two components. One is funding and two is, you know, utility ability. And so one is the utility and the ability, this is solved, right? And it's only going to get better and better and better, easier and easier and easier, and with more and more capabilities. And then, you know, right now, we're sort of closing out on the first wave of funding into the, you know, AI boom. Mm-hmm. My guess is that it'll follow some kind of trajectory similar to the dot-com bubble. And so we will get, you know, we'll get some blow off top over the next 6 to 12 months that, you know, we'll continue to see funding going into this first wave of companies, new companies emerging, some follow on rounds, et cetera, but it'll slow gradually. And then something will break. People will go, oops, the entire move was already priced into SpaceX. Oops, OpenAI, you know, isn't what we thought it was. Oops. Well, the five companies sucked, you know, 93% of global liquidity out of markets, whatever it's going to be. there's going to be a whoops moment, and we're going to realize we made bad assumptions, and then the market's going to implode. And then the greatest part actually happens, which is now you've got VCs that have the biggest suitcases of money they ever had in their lives on the back of all these IPOs. You've got a host of really super experienced employees that are coming out of these companies that are now themselves wealthy and want to go start their own companies. And you've got repeat founders who probably got their knees cut out, you know, in this first wave, that are going to come back for the second wave of the internet, just like in the dot-com bubble. Many of the biggest entrepreneurs today were guys that got their knees cut out in 99-2000, right? And so those guys come back out, there's going to be an absolute tsunami of capital that has a mandate to be deployed into new rounds of AI companies, you know, deep tech, space tech, you know, all of these are incredible, you know, biotech. There is so much exciting innovation on the horizon that all of this is just going to be driving demands. All of this. All. And so I think, you know, it won't happen in a straight line, but I'm extreme bullish on domains for the next 3 to 5 years.
Well, I think I'm actually seeing the AI bubble broaden. So what I mean by that is, it used to just be all you had to do was buy NVIDIA, right? So like if you just bought NVIDIA, because it was just all about making hardware, right?
Yeah.
And then you saw it broaden out, and it's like all these data center companies and a couple of these model companies are doing really well. But the number of stocks that you could say like AI stocks or like AI companies is like, you know, a dozen. But what's happening right now is that AI is going into everything. Like you're saying, like every small business is trying to adopt AI. Biotech is trying to adopt AI, you know, healthcare, lawyers, like, so all these. So I'm actually, I don't know. It's really hard to call market cycles. I mean, it's just, fuck, it's tough, but I'm actually seeing it broaden out for the first time. And you're seeing, thought pieces come out and they're saying like, oh man, we're really going to put AI into all of these services businesses. And we're going to put AI just across a lot more things. And so we could be in a situation where what I'm seeing is there might be a handoff from some of like the big model companies and some of these bigger companies to some of the like middle market or smaller businesses who are going to start adopting AI, because they're going to be, yeah, they're going to finally, because if you're a small business, you can't afford $50 billion to build a, you know, ChatGPT 5.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like now they have the cheaper open source models, or even the cheaper like ChatGPT or Claude models or whatever, and they're good enough to do real stuff. So I'll give you an example. We recently used Google's Gemini model, and they have a cheap one, Gemini Flash. This is the first model that we were able to use where normal people could make a website with it, and it actually worked, right? So like if we tried to use the cheap model a year ago to like build a website, it wouldn't work. You'd have to use it. And so I think we might see a handoff this year, which would mean that it would extend how long this thing runs. Because if there's actually a handoff where it's like, oh wow, the really good AI has gotten cheap enough now where mid-market and small business can start it, and regular, like maybe one person solopreneurs can start adopting it, and it's not too expensive for them, we could get that next leg in the AI trade where normal people start using it. So we'll see. And then I can say something about software developers, which I think is pretty interesting, is that it's become so much easier to write code that I think software developers kind of look like farmers in the 1890s, you know. And then like once we invented tractors, you know, you had 90% of farmers had to find new jobs in being, they needed to go and start working in a factory, right? And then the farmers that were left were like the ones who used all the tech. And we're going to see that same thing happen with software engineers. I know people are worried about job loss. I don't really see job loss across everything, because someone has to tell the AI what to do. And anyone who uses AI is like, I'm doing more now than I was before. Mm-hmm. But I do think software development is one of those industries where like things have changed. You gotta be different than you were before. I don't know if it's going to be like that in other industries. I can't say. But that is another thing that's, I think, coming, just because it's so much easier to do things that careers are going to change too for people. So
on that note, as a perfect segue, let's talk about domain outbounding, because, you know, we talk about losing jobs. Am I going to lose my job, Matt? Are you going to take away my job? Are you one of them evil Silicon Valley guys going to take my job?
Yeah, I don't think you can get rid of the salesperson, right? So you can actually look at this right now. You look at Anthropic, right? So Anthropic, they needed to have a better salesperson to work with the Trump administration.
Yeah, 100%. That is great.
Yeah,
no question.
It's the world's best AI company. They literally have the smartest AI on the planet. You know, you think they would ask the AI like, hey, you know, how can we do a good job working with our regulator? You know, and it didn't work.
If I had to guess, I still believe that Gemini or DeepMind is probably the single smartest model. Okay. I think Claude, Anthropic is the best company at deploying their model, right? Like, and this applies to so much of what Google has always done, right? Like Google has probably the best tech in the world, right? Like across the board, on everything. Like it's all integrated. It's just that they're terrible at deploying it. They're terrible at customer experience. They're terrible at like the way they deliver products and services to the consumer. But the underlying tech and the underlying data that they have is unparalleled. There's nobody. I think Grok is the only one that even comes close to having the level of proprietary data. And they're not, you know, and they're probably several orders of magnitude less. You know, YouTube alone, never mind all the search behavior. YouTube alone is basically like, you know, a snapshot of humanity. Well, entirely.
I think this is the opportunity for businesses that are not a Mag 7, is that it actually is hard to deploy and make like user interfaces that are good for people.
Yeah.
And right now we just have like Anthropic, but I actually think there's going to be a lot more companies who are helping to package models for
wrappers on these things.
Yeah, exactly. And what they're finding out is that the wrappers for these things is actually a good portion of the value. So like, you know, if Jensen has his 5-layer cake or whatever.
Yeah.
And if you're like saying what percentage of the pie goes to the model company, what percent goes to hardware, what percentage goes to the application layer. And up until now, I would say the hardware and the model has been getting 99% of the money.
Sure.
And applications have only been getting 1%. And what I'm saying is I think that we're about to see applications get closer to 10%, right? So applications are, those are the people who are going to be generating all the new business ideas. There's only 10 companies that.
Here's my problem. Yeah. Here's my problem.
What'd you say? There's 10 companies what?
There's 10 companies who build $50 billion data centers, but there's going to be, 10 million companies putting AI into their business, right?
Yeah.
So there's a long deal.
I think this is the most important and the most interesting conversation around AI is where does the value accrue when all is said and done? And, you know, everybody wants to defer to like, well, we've seen this with the mobile wave. We've seen this with the internet wave. And it's always, you know, the value always accrues at the application layer. I don't think that that's the case here because I think that if we, you know, you see Sam Altman basically talking about OpenAI being a utility in the future where we're just basically a company that sells tokens, right? And I think that if investors are perceiving that they've invested at these absurd multiples into a company that's basically a commodity, a utility provider, they're going to say, hey, time to start, you know, vertically and horizontally integrating, right? And so most of these companies that are just, you know, if you are a small business, medium-sized business, and you're providing some niche wrapper on one of these LLMs for some very specific industry, sure, great business, and I agree with your perspective. If you are providing like one of the world's key services and all you really are is like a curated wrapper on an LLM, that LLM or one other LLM is just going to turn you into a feature. Like this has been the concern I've had about basically every shitcoin compared to Bitcoin, is that over a long enough time scale, and I think that the appropriate time scale is 10, 15 years, it, after 10 to 15 years of some feature demonstrating real market fit, real demand, real necessity for this feature set, it's just ones and zeros. That's all this stuff is, whether it's AI, it's crypto, it's Bitcoin, it's Ethereum, it's just ones and zeros. It's all binary. And so at the end of the day, everything can be, doesn't mean it will be, but can be a feature set of the core. And the core being the frontier model, the core being the first, you know, the first layer blockchain, right? Ultimately, Bitcoin. Right? And so I'm not trying to turn this into a Bitcoin conversation. I just think that there's a parallel between, like, yes, your shitcoin is doing fun, cool things. Great. Go do cool, fun things for 10, 15 years. Prove that there's a market fit. Prove that you don't have security flaws. Prove that there's no exploit. Prove that there's a reason for you to survive. And then we're going to cut your head off and put you as a feature on Bitcoin. And the exact same thing's going to happen in AI. If the AI models themselves become a commodity, this is my view, if they continue to be a commodity, and we're seeing that already this week, is this race to the bottom now on token cost.
Yep.
And so if they become a price-sensitive commodity and they are just a utility provider, then either the people, the executives themselves, or their investors more likely are going to force them to expand the business. And it's not hard. I mean, I think, was it Anthropic or it was.
They were all expanding the business. So like.
Yeah. And so, and they were like, they were going to buy this business for like $3 billion. And they were like, then somebody on the team was like, I think in 3 months we could build this business. And they were like, oh, really? And he was like, okay. So yeah, we couldn't come to terms. So we killed the deal. And then in 30 days, they had rebuilt the business inside Claude.
Well, if you look, so you have Anthropic is doing their co-work product and Claude. Yeah, and then OpenAI is doing a co-work product. Kimi K2 just opened a co-work product. Microsoft has a co-work. So they're all trying to do it. But I like to watch like who I consider to be the smartest person in the game, and that's Elon. And so what did Elon do? Elon just tripled down on hardware. Right.
Yeah.
So Elon looked at the thing and said, like, where's the value going to accrue? And he says, it's going to accrue to whoever makes the hardware. So he's building a Terafab and he's going to try to make data centers in space. And so Elon's a pretty smart guy. So I would say,
yeah, hold on. I couldn't agree with you more in terms of he's your North Star. I agree.
Yeah.
He's always the one thinking from first principles. He doesn't get caught up in narratives ever. And he makes, generally speaking, very rational decisions. The only thing I'm questioning with what you're saying is, what's his motivation? Is it because he believes that's where the value accrues, or is he building those things because that's where he perceives the biggest bottleneck to be for his trajectory? I would argue that he's building those things not because he thinks it's going to accrue the value, but because these are the things that will get in his way of achieving what he wants to achieve. These are the bottlenecks that he needs to overcome. And I think the second advantage or the second causation there is that by doing it himself, by definition, he has differentiation. So even if, you know, whatever, like he can't beat NVIDIA, he can't, you know, whatever, he will have something that is by definition different. And so, like, better or worse, it will most likely survive the market. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's a sort of evolution differentiation, I think, basis to that as well. Obviously just guessing, but my primary, you know, what I think his primary motivation there is clearing a bottleneck and not as much about chasing the value accrual.
Well, let's look at what he did. So he had his Grok, that's his model company. Then he has the hardware bet, which is, you know, the Terafab and then the data centers. And then he also made another really big bet, which is he bought Cursor, right?
Yeah.
Today?
$60 billion.
So if you look at what he did, he fired everyone.
Which, by the way, when your share price, gets above 200, you literally you would literally be negligent. Like, literally, shareholders could sue him for being negligent to not go out and buy.
Yeah, I get it.
Cursor at that price.
But let's just look at what he did, because he owns, he's a vertical integration guy. He owns he owns the hardware, he owns a model company, and then he owns the application level at Cursor. And what has he done in the past 6 months? He has tripled
and
down.
The data stream, Starlink.
But he has tripled down on hardware, and then he doubled down on application layer, and then the model company, he literally fired everybody. And he's like rehiring for his model company. So I think that what we're seeing right now is the model companies, for the first time in maybe the last 4 or 5 years, are getting super competitive on token price, which is, and you have Sam Altman coming out and say, like, I'm going to be a utility for tokens. Like,
yeah.
That's how he sees himself.
When I heard him say that, I was like, if I were your shareholder, I'd kill you. Like,
super bullish though this is super bullish for more business creation, right? Because if the model,
100%.
If token prices come down, it's like the price of electricity getting cheaper, right? Yep. And so if token prices come down, this is why I think we may be broadening out on I'm pretty optimistic. So, but I'm terrible at predicting markets, just other than just being convinced that something's going to happen in the long run and then betting long run. But for me, it seems like if these token prices are coming down right now and you see, Elon doubling down on hardware and Elon doubling down on application level, that just means to me, like, token prices are going to keep getting, there's going to be more and more tokens at a lower price, and this application layer is about to pop off. So super bullish for domains and super bullish for business formation. And we want to be in that space too. And like you were just saying, hey, if you're building AI for particular like niches, and that's what we're focused on. Obviously, like building an AI thing to do outbounding for your domain names is pretty niche, or building AI to analyze your portfolio and try to find opportunities for you is also pretty niche. So I'm kind of following that playbook, and I hope we're going to be right over the next 12 to 24 months. And I'm optimistic, man. If you haven't read the book, like The Singularity Is Near, like all those crazy sci-fi, I think you basically have to read sci-fi now to see what the future is going to look like. Because
totally,
yeah. I'm excited, man. Have you heard? You know the MAHA movement, probably, like Make America.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So I like the modification now. It's like Make America Hot Again, because like they just keep coming out with new drugs that everybody's taking that's just making them like ripped and skinny. Like everyone's on peptide.
I'm telling you though, that shit's gonna end real bad. This whole peptide boom is gonna end. It's gonna end
Drew is bullish, is bearish on.
You're bearish. You're bearish on.
Well, he's bearish on long-term side effects.
I mean, look, a peptide is an amino acid. Like, it's literally what we're made of. Like, this isn't anything new. It's just that our ability to isolate them and then, basically like put them on a menu and start injecting ourselves with them is novel, and probably not a great idea yet.
Definitely not without a doctor's orders. Like, don't be.
Listen, I think honestly, all of these GLPs, all of these peptides, people do not understand the secondary and tertiary effects of these things. Everything in the universe has a price. There is no free lunch ever, ever, ever. In any case, there's not one single situation in this universe where there's a free lunch. Okay. It's called the conservation of energy law. And it is the most important law that drives our existence in this universe. So there's no free lunch, and there's no, get skinny and, get ripped pill that, works for free. And when I say for free, I mean no, like, side effect consequences. Okay. The GLP-1s are going to make you blind. GLP-1s are going to make you all kinds of things messed up, over time.
I'm going to push back a little bit. So, I have family members. It's actually my dad. He's been on, prescribed GLP-1, and, he's older, in his 70s, and, he's lost a lot of weight, and his heart medications are down. And like, for in his case, like, whatever the side effects are from taking GLP-1s, are the benefits have been significant.
So this is what I was about to say. So couldn't agree more. If you are very obese, okay, mm-hmm. and that obesity is driving a whole bunch of chronic disease.
Yeah.
in you, and it, you know, has a direct effect and negative impact on your quality of life, God bless. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like great. I mean, my point is not that we should eliminate these things. It's that we're not thinking about them properly. You have to always think, same way you make an investment. What's the upside? What's the downside? This is what I tell my kids all the time. When you're making a decision, what's your upside? What's your downside? If your upside is not asymmetrically better than your downside, the answer is no, every time.
I've been buying.
And so, for your father or my mother, hell yeah. Like, God bless. Thank God. But for a 35-year-old or a 45-year-old who's trying to do looks maxing, like, don't do it. Just don't. Don't do it.
I've been buying up healthcare domains this year. So that was one of my theses coming into this year, is that like AI is going to continue running. But then I also think that we're going to have a lot of innovation in healthcare, because you can see the U.S. is opening up regulations.
It might even be bigger than the AI boom in terms of consumer, the benefit to the consumer.
Well, they make more money. Like GLP-1s are going to do $100 billion this year. And I think AI is going to do 50 to 100. So GLP-1s are already making more money. So I've been buying up healthcare domains, you know, on my personal portfolio. And I just think China has entered the chat with healthcare. And I'll be honest, they don't have the same rules when it comes to trials.
Oh, they're going
to
be
you heard that conversation with Putin and Xi, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She's like, yo, what you need? You need a kidney, you need a liver, you need a heart. You know what I'm saying? We got you. Putin, come over here. We got you.
Well, and then also the AI is really helping all those drug companies make a whole bunch of new drugs. And they have some funny names too. So I was talking to a friend of mine, and one of the things they do with drugs is they try to give them a bad name.
Yeah, on purpose.
Yeah, so that you will ask for the brand name. Right.
Yeah.
When you go to the doctor. So we were joking, and we bought a couple of domain names that were just really funny, like really like they like chemical words like Oglethorpin or whatever. You know what I mean? And like really ugly domain name words. It's like, oh, this would be perfect for a pharma company. Right. They're going to need a name this bad. So for domainers out there with really bad domains, you know, maybe look through them. Something like might be great for a. for the pharmaceutical industry, they may want that really hideous domain name for their drug.
At something noteworthy, this morning I sold what I believe is the first domain name industry related domain name I've ever sold. Because domainers are cheap, as you know, right? You know better than almost anybody. Domainers are cheap. They don't want to pay for services. They don't want to pay. They just don't want to pay. They just don't. They're cheap. We're cheap as they were probably the cheapest people ever. And somebody came in and hit the bin on domainnamesearch.com. Mm.
That's great.
We're gonna play a little mini domain name game. How much you think domainnamesearch.com sold for?
Three words.
Three words, and it's the domain name industry.
I mean, I can't imagine that sold for. I mean, I'm going to go guess first $10,000. I would be surprised. We'll see. But it's on Andrew's site, so I should know that it's going to be more expensive than that. But I think my number's low. JT, you come in.
I already know what it sold.
I already told him, so he can't guess.
So I can't guess, but I can tell you, you're definitely on the low side. But yeah, I mean, it takes away a little bit of the reveal if there's not multiple people guessing, but go ahead and tell them what.
I know, but it's still, you know.
Oh, it's good. I like it. And it paid, right? Like, it's already, the payment's already in it?
Yeah. Payment's on the way. I got the Afternic email. Funds are on the way for domainnamesearch.com. $59,895.
Yeah, I didn't
think. So whoever you are in the domain industry, number one, I'm proud of you. You're the only domainer who's not cheap. This domain is worth that, actually. This is literally, domain name search is one of the two or three biggest search terms in the domain name industry.
Well, when you told me it sold, I immediately felt regret.
But yeah, I feel a certain way. I'm like, man, I sold a domain to a competitor. Like, somebody's going to go build something. But it'll be, you know, some kind of domain spinner, probably. But let's see, Keyword Explorer. Let's just see, domain name search. So if we're doing, you know, the classical Rosner equation type of thing on this, you got 91,000 global searches, 36,000 local in the United States. But in this case, global is appropriate because, you know, domain names are global. So you got 91,000 searches and a $3.50 CPC. You know, you're looking at, you know, this is easily a $300,000 domain. There's a justification to say it's worth $500,000. But it's still the domain industry and it's still a bunch of broke ass domainers who don't pay. So somebody, I'm proud of you. You pulled out the wallet, you hit the bin, no negotiation even. They just boom, they just took it.
That's not a domain person who bought that. Yeah, that's
yeah, it's going to be somebody. This is definitely like a Silicon Valley guy who woke up to the domain name industry because nobody in the industry can do this.
That's some guy who was a SpaceX employee, just became a multimillionaire and said, I'm going to build my side project I've been thinking about. And
Yeah.
Because it's going to be easy. I just have a lot of friends who are engineers and they are all starting small businesses right now. Right. And so that is brand new. And most of them are starting small businesses while continuing to keep their day job because they have AI now. They feel like they can do it. Right.
Yep.
And like these are small businesses that they're micro businesses that would be too expensive to start. Like you were saying, your friend built a
that's it
as an internally. But now you can build it and in a couple of weeks and maintain it. Like, because maintaining is also expensive. So like the maintenance on this is now sub a couple $100 a month for maintaining this side project for them, or maybe sub $1,000. And the market size for this is maybe only $250,000 a year, because these are like small side projects, or local. A lot of them are local projects, like for that area. And everyone is now realizing that with AI they can do these things on the weekend. I'll tell you, like, I'm doing one for my homeowners association. Like, that's one of the websites I'm building. And it's like one of those things I would never freaking do this, right? Except that, like, you know, I want to better organize how people use the pool, right? That type of thing. And now it's like a thing I could do on a weekend. And just the number of these types of small things that are happening, I would just never do. I have 3 side projects right now up from zero. And it's just, yeah, you can do it. And on a Saturday morning, you know, my daughter's running around doing whatever, and I can just rip out a website real quick. And that's, I don't know. It feels great. I think people should be very optimistic. Things are going to get much better. And I agree with you. And when we came on here, you said we're in like the melt up phase. Like, we're in the melt up phase. And I think it could even broaden out a lot more. So, yeah. And I'm curious.
I agree. But I think that we're going to have an implosion before we get the broadening. And that's typically what happens.
Well, we just had our implosion with the Iran stuff. That would be my counter argument.
No, we didn't. What are you talking? That was like a fart in the wind. People, we had like a 20% spike in the oil price. Like, you know, yes, it would have been probably $160 if they hadn't emptied the special reserve. But, you know,
I don't know, man. That made me very uncomfortable watching my stock market portfolio when oil went up 50%. I'll be honest. So maybe my stomach is not as strong.
Nothing. That was like that was a nothing burger. What did we do? We went from, you know, S&P at 7,200 or something to like, you know, 68, you know what I mean? Like the appropriate price. I was telling people 2 years ago, when did I go to Thailand? Yeah. 2 years ago, I sat down with this guy in Thailand, and that was probably February of 2024. Okay. And this guy laid out the single best financial case I've ever heard in my life. And he basically mapped it for me. And he said, look, we're going, he said, in the next 12, 18 months, we're going to $6,800 in the S&P. We could bump up to 72, but I think 68 is basically where you want to start taking chips off the table. Right? That was 2 years ago. And his expectation was that was going to happen in 12 to 18 months. I mean, where are we at now?
We got to be at 7,000. Like, it's
7,600. We're at 7,600. Like, you know, look, to go from 8,200 to 7, you know, this is, we're not in reality. We're in the dream state, and that's okay. That's fine. But you have to just realize where you are, and that, you know, and
so Is now a good time to be selling your domains, or is now a good time to be buying?
I just posted today. I said, welcome to the melt-up. You know, my advice to everyone is just over the next days, weeks, and months, take profits. Sell. This is what I've said. I've said this on stage at the main conferences. I've said in this podcast 100 times, but it is very good advice. I tell it to people in negotiations all the time. Sell into the wave. Always sell into the wave. Always sell into the wave. I repeat myself because people don't listen. Okay. Right now, we've got a wave. You want to sell into it. You want to sell the stocks that are booming. If you're looking at a stock and you're like, holy shit, look how much profit I made. Take some. Just take some. And if it keeps going, great, even better. But you've locked in the profits. Great. I can promise you in 12 or 18 months, you're going to be one of the lucky few that did. You get an inquiry on a domain that's clearly going to be an AI company, or it's going to be a crypto company, blah, 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 whatever. It's in one of these bubbles. You sell. You have a good offer. Best offer you ever got. Sell, sell, sell. Like, don't be stupid, because the wave will hit the beach and it's going to break your goddamn neck on the beach. It's going to pile drive you into the beach. That's what waves do. They're super fun. You ride it. Some people like to ride it all the way into the beach. And then, boom, pile drive.
Well, take
profits. I don't give a shit. Don't take profits. Don't sell. More for me. But
I think
I'm just trying to, you know, be rational. Clearly, at $7,600, the S&P is overvalued. Clearly, you know, when somebody offers you $500,000 for the .ai domain name that you registered 2 years ago, you should probably sell it.
Yeah.
You should probably sell it.
How are your inquiries on .ai domains specifically?
Well, you know, it's funny.
Do you think it's a good time to list those? Like, that specifically?
Before we get into that, I think it's important with Drew, also what you're talking about, and correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, I mean, are we talking about there's this overall wave? And I mean, there's different waves for
stocks. I'm talking, you know, it doesn't matter what the wave is. When there was a, you know, in 2021, you know, the end of 2021 on stage, maybe even with you, Matt, I don't remember who I was on stage with.
Probably Brad.
I think it was Brad. And we were talking about, you know, basically the crypto bubble and what it meant. You know, this was the NFT craze, and I had just sold NFT.com for $2 million and blah, blah, blah. And people were like, oh, you wouldn't have sold it. You know, and I did, because 20 days later, I got a $20 million offer. So I could have sold it for 10X. Clearly, I undersold it. However, in hindsight, am I glad I sold it for two? Hell yeah, because the guy that owns it now, he can't sell it for anything. Nobody cares. Nobody wants it.
Yeah.
Right? So, look, we're in a wave, call it a bubble, or don't, I don't care. But when you look at your portfolio and you smile like a pig in shit, when you get an offer and you get a little excitement in your pants because, you know, you get the email from Astronik or whatever, or maybe it's from one of my guys, sell, just sell. Like, sell. You're clearly, look, I heard a quote yesterday that literally was the best ever. Bubbles pop when people are exuberant and happy, and it feels like things are just going to keep going forever. Bubbles never pop. Never. There's never been one in history that popped because people felt like, you know, down. People felt, you know, oh, you know, there's no money to be made, or, you know, there's nothing, you know, nothing's ripping. Like, that's the environment when a bull market starts. Ask yourself, where are we? Go on a forum and ask it and read what all these, you know, AI, you know, whatever. I'm trying to not be mean, but all these freaks that are, you know, overinvested in .ai go on the forums and read what they're writing and ask yourself, are we in a bubble? Are we in a bear market? Or are we in a, or, you know, or not a bear market or a bull market, because that's actually too broad. But are we in a bubble? Or are we in a you know, the depths of despair, right? Those are your options. We're on our way to, you know, the blow off top of a bubble. That's where we are. It's just, it's not really debatable. It's where we are. It's, you can see it in the valuations. You can see it in the money velocity. You can see it in, you know, the concentration of value in the stock market into a very small number of names. These are all your classical, you know, symptoms. Now, again, just to come back, because I'm actually not trying to be negative.
Yeah.
I think this will keep running. I think we probably got, we might get another 15% in the S&P 500. We might be at 8,500 when the bubble finally pops. Okay. But what I do know is it will pop. And then there will be a massive shakeout. And then there's going to be the largest sum of capital invested into new company creation and company growth ever in human history over the course of 2027, 2028, 2029, 2030. The next 5 years, with the exception of probably what will be a 3 to 6 month, you know, divot in the road, are going to be the best years of your life in markets and in domain names, especially. I think domains are literally going to be one of the greatest benefactors of all of this. Because again, it's not just about the AI. It's AI and all of the development that comes as a result of it. It's biotech, which is going to grow exponentially because of AI. And then because of these biotech solutions, you're going to have all these new, like, why is Hims exist, right? Hims is now a multi-billion dollar company. Why? Because of one single biotech innovation, right? There's going to be 100 new Hims. There's going to be 100 new life extension companies. There's going to be 100 new, you know, medical labs where you can go in and get everything under the sun done to you to diagnose and improve your health. There's going to be an endless amount of new hardware, new software, and new business creation across verticals we can't even possibly imagine that will be the result of the innovation of AI, the innovation in biotech, the innovation of the two combined, the innovation of hardware, the innovation of, you know, space, the innovate. There is going to be so much change and innovation, and the pace of that change is going to be literally head splitting. But all of it, every single little component of this is going to be made up of, if you think about all of these as giant buildings, new cities getting built, our domain names are the bricks by which they'll be built. So very bullish, super bullish. But just coming back to the original question, don't be stupid. Sell into the wave. That was a very long-winded answer to your question.
JT, you wanted to get in here?
I mean, yeah, no, look, and I think it's interesting because I think when you look at and you talk about waves, and I guess that was my point was, well, what is the wave that we are talking about? And I think, Drew, you very well, you know, you did answer that question, because anybody that's been holding Bitcoin for the past year, right, and has seen their Bitcoin drop 40% or whatever it is, and meanwhile, they've seen everything else absolutely rip, right? I don't think, you know, would you tell people to sell their Bitcoin now, or would you tell people to hold on to their Bitcoin?
No, but are we in, what did I ask you? I said, ask yourself, are you in a bubble? Or are you in a depths of despair, right? To me, it's pretty goddamn clear we're the depths of despair in the Bitcoin world, right? And so I think this pill is still more pain and suffering to come. We might get a little bump. We could go to 85. We could go to 100. But shit, I promise you, by September, October, or November, we will be in the 40s or the 50s before we make, you know, some new all-time high, okay?
Yeah.
And so no, we're in the opposites, right? This is the, and that's what it's supposed to happen is – you know, Bitcoin is a release valve. And so, you know, this market's going to blow up, right? And then eventually that will implode. And the capital doesn't get lost. Capital just moves from one asset class to another asset class, one investor to another investor, one owner to another owner, right? Capital is like energy.
I'm with it.
It just moves around. And so, you know,
no, and that was, AI that was the piece I was,
you know. People run to safety. All that money moves into gold, Bitcoin, and treasuries. And then, you know, new innovation appears. Somebody demonstrates a bunch of growth. People are like, oh shit, why am I sitting in boring assets? I want a piece of this action. Let's get back into tech. Let's get back into biotech. Let's get back into, you know, whatever it's going to be. Yep. And so,
that's all. I just wanted to kind of draw that distinction a bit when you talk about the melt, you know, the melting up happening. And when you look at it's the markets that are really frothy right now that are extremely exuberant, right? Obviously, you know, an opportunity to take cash off the table, probably not a bad idea.
Gold was going up, you know, $100 a day for months. Yeah. It was kind of obvious. It was like, okay, I can see that 5,000 number. And it's like, you can see gold wants to go give that thing a kiss. So we're going to go kiss 5,000. Probably going to blow through the wall like we always do. You know what I mean? When there's a price target, things break through those price targets. And then we're going to pull back. And that's what we did. And now we're 20% down from all-time highs. And that was also obvious. And we're probably going to go touch 4,000 or even 3,800, right? And that's normal. Normal. We shot through a price target. We're going to pull back 20, 30%. And then it'll start making its way back up again. Bitcoin, same thing. Right?
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
Matt had mentioned something earlier, and I want to jump back to it. You were asking about .AI domains, Matt. I think you were kind of curious what we're seeing. And,
yeah, because
I think that's a good part of, because we're talking about that being a frothy market right now, and where are we at, right?
Now I'm going to talk out to both sides of my mouth, because my position has not changed. I do not think .AI is like the end all be all for everything AI forever. I think that that is a short lived experience. I think that they are good domains. There are companies that will continue to operate on .AIs forever. I think there will be demand for .AI. Do I think that the price levels at wholesale and end users on .AI is sustainable? Absolutely not. All that being said, we have sold millions of dollars in .AI domain names in the last 6 months. In the last 2 months, I think we've done 2.5 million in .AI sales. In the last 2 months, maybe that's 2 or 3 months.
We've actually done more. We've done more.
And that's the highest.
Yeah, it might even be more. It might even be like
that's the highest volume you've ever seen for .AI, right? So like ever in the history.
For us?
Yeah.
No, not even close. I mean, you know, Yeah, not even close. But interestingly, you know, escrow.com, if anybody still uses them, they just reported that .AI sales were like way off.
Interesting.
Right? They plateaued, I think they said, and they started falling 10% or something like that. So, you know, I don't know.
Well, I think that's really good information because when you see volume at all new time highs and then like sales records at all new time highs, if someone's asking, are we closer to the bottom or the top of the market? Like that's a pretty good indication. It's if you're sitting on a bunch, and I know some people who invested in .AI early, some of them are on our platform or maybe listening to this podcast. And it's good to listen to people who've been in the industry for a long time. And so you've got Andrew here, who's been in this industry for 20 years. And he's saying like, this is a good time to let some inventory out.
Unfortunately, what we're seeing right now is that because we are in this like, you know, euphoric bubble, basically, and if it's a bubble, it's a bubble. Is it a new, you know, Chris says it all the time about the trend.
It can keep going, you know.
Chris says it all the time. The trend is your friend, right? We talk about selling into the wave and we talk about these things literally all the time on the show.
The best is the market can stay irrational longer than you can stay liquid.
And more importantly, when you look at the way that the, you know, the .AI sales have really been fantastic, But now the sellers of the .ai domains, because they do seem to have a certain amount of consolidation, right? Because it seems like, you know, it's not like it was, you know, it didn't evolve the way .com evolved. It evolved where you have like pockets of like owners of a lot of the domains. And they're pretty challenging to deal with right now, like a lot of these guys, because they're, you know, they've had some of these wins and they've seen other folks with some of these big wins. And obviously seeing the funding and some of the other deals. And look, and the dot-coms are still extremely expensive.
I'm going to make one more very, this might be the highest signal point I've made in this podcast. You're the two gods of .ai that the industry looks up to. We have sold a .ai domain name for both of them. In fact, for one of them, we sold two domains. Okay, the Booth brothers, Andy and James. We have sold three .ai domain names for the two of them over the last month, let's just say. And I think we got very good prices. One was in the six figures, one was in the seven. The seven figure was somebody else.
Yep.
But still, it applies. We sold names for both of them, just not for seven figures. But nonetheless, my point is, both of them are being a lot more cooperative in selling these names than they were a few months ago, certainly more than they were a year ago. So you may not like me, you may not like my opinion on .ai, and you would be right in feeling that way because I've been wrong, flat wrong. I won't be wrong forever, but I've been way too early and that makes me wrong. But those guys have been spot fucking on. And they're starting to, lubricate the portfolio. So
when the long-term smart money says the current market prices are good prices for putting
time to sell.
Yeah.
Bitcoin OGs. Smartest, biggest Bitcoin holders in the world. Adam Back. Okay. Guys that have literally, you know, hundreds of thousands of Bitcoin, tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of Bitcoin. Those guys sold Bitcoin at $100,000. Between $100,000 and $110,000, those guys sold large chunks of their Bitcoin.
And they were also selling it $25,000 and at $50,000 and at $75,000 on the way up. And so like you just don't want to be holding all of your cards all the time.
That's literally the definition of a bag holder, right?
Yeah,
bag holder.
Well, let me, because we should probably, you know, get Andy, James, or at least one of them on the, you know, they haven't been on the show in a minute, but a huge shout out to them. The, you know, I think it's an important
huge.
Thing.
I mean, look, dude.
Well, hold on. James, let me make my
Booth
point.
In particular, has absolutely murdered it. Literally. I don't think I've ever in my career said this about anybody else other than maybe Yanni, because Yanni's he's just, bomb. He's in a freight train. Bop, 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 bop. But other than that, I don't think I've ever given shout outs at this level to anybody. But James Booth, shout out my G. You are absolutely murdering at the level of like my best year in my career history. And I don't know anybody that's doing it at that level. And he's just murdering. So shout out to James, because you are absolutely crushing and I'm proud of you. And it's amazing to see, you know, the development. But, you know.
Yeah. So a couple of things on this.
James is selling too.
Yeah. Well, and I have a couple of points to make. So those guys were, you know, they had high conviction early, especially in the .ai stuff. And that has proven to have worked out very, very well for them.
Yep.
So, you know, and I think that's key is like, you know, obviously being smart, being right, having conviction and being able to follow through. I think the piece about, you know, well, yeah, of course, being early, but not too early. Right. But real quick, the piece about them selling, I don't know. And this is why having them on the show would be great, because I don't want to put words in their mouth or like, you know, kind of say they're, you know. You know, they're not selling to liquidate, but they're selling exactly. They're selling exactly in line with what Matt said, which is recognizing that these prices are good prices, right? And it's like, hey, this is really good value. And, you know, and they bought early, so it's also they can get off the train, you know, and pretty happy at
diversify.
Times.
Yeah,
you know, and diversify 100%, you know, because they're recognizing that the market is bearing very good prices for these domains right now. Will we continue to see big sales with certain companies? Of course. Is it the kind of thing though where, hey, like you're going to keep holding out for like more and more and more and more, and then at some point like you said, you're a bag holder. And I think them being able to recognize the temperature and the opportunity when it's there, you know, they did the same thing with Bored Apes. They've done the same thing with .com domains. They're now doing the same thing with .ai domains. It's like, you know, the timing is great. The guys know what's up. And again, I don't know that it's not necessarily a signal that, hey, the party's over, it's time to leave and just dump, but it's more like recognizing value and opportunity. And I think that's like a lesson that everybody kind of needs to learn in general across a lot of different sort of verticals. And it's really in line with exactly what you're saying, Drew, which is things, you know, the melting of up is happening. You know, if you have an opportunity to take some money off the table, you know, probably not the worst idea to do, especially when you've got this level of exuberance and over the top bullishness on, you know, where everybody, you know, when you're, you know, when your cab driver starts talking about .ai domains, it's probably time to sell a few, you know what I mean? So anyway, so yeah, so huge shout out to them and really good stuff and very interesting to see how things play out. I also want to touch on another thing, the thing that you guys said earlier about the AI, the models, right? Where it seemed like initially, hey, you're going to have two or three winners at the model level. I actually think now what we're seeing is that there are going to be a ton of options, which will turn it into more of a commodity where it will be in line with what Sam has said about, you know, we're going to be a commodity selling tokens for access. And the, you know, real opportunity then starts to happen at the application layer, which is very much exactly what Matt was saying throughout the show, which then from a domain standpoint, for a new company creation standpoint, gets extremely interesting because then when you have millions of companies all selling different associated services and features and tools and platforms and access and whatever, what's going to differentiate them? It's going to be the actual, obviously, the value of the services. It's going to be their the way they manage their customers. And then it's going to be, how do they cut through the noise, right? Which then brings us back to domain names, you know, which I think is, you know, makes it very exciting and very bullish on domains, especially in the next 3 to 5 years. So, but Matt, would you say the same thing? I mean, domains become a key part of how these companies are going to differentiate themselves if they're going to be a million different AI companies doing all sorts of different stuff?
I mean, I think domains are going to have a huge... yes, I think domains are going to be in more demand because people are going to make more small businesses and they're going to make a lot more software. I'm seeing a lot of people now who are solopreneurs and they used to just run one website, but they're actually now running 3, 4, 5, right?
Yeah.
Because with the AI tools they can run. And I have a friend of mine and he's in the dog e-commerce business, right? So I'm not going to get more specific than that because I don't want to put him out on blast.
Yeah.
But he started in the dog e-commerce business and he started like dog food and then dog supplements and then dog. And he's expanding his brand now by just offering more product offerings because he already has the same customer base. And so he has a big SEO play. That's how he does his business. And so he's just gobbling up domain names to go further out the curve for his business. And he's like, man, I wouldn't be able to do this 3 years ago, but yeah. I can do this now because it's so much easier for me to spin up property 1, property 2, property 3, property 4. And in his case, because he does SEO stuff, he has property 400, 500, 600, right? That's, and you just managing that much stuff is harder without AI. So, and now that you have AI, it's just like super easy. So the lesson from the people that I know in my life who run small businesses is they are buying more domain names and plugging those and they're buying them and then they are developing the properties, which is kind of new because they can do that with AI. I think that's going to be big. And then just globally, there's just going to be so much more software. And that means...
Just before you move on from that point, just on the SEO point, I think that also one of the biggest areas of e-commerce and just digital media right now, one of the largest pieces of uncertainty that is even holding back the market, doesn't seem like it's being held back, but I think that the uncertainty around SEO and the future of SEO and the future of search versus Google search versus chat response. I think this literally maybe the single biggest factor holding back an even bigger wave in the domain market. For everything you're talking about, for small and medium-sized businesses especially, and launching, the ability to launch just like an endless number of new websites and businesses.
Well, I'll give you a radical thing that we did internally. So internally, we said, what's an SEO website look like in the future for a chatbot? Like, how is that different? And one of the guys on my team was like, well, you know, it's probably just a markdown file that specs out an API for an agent, right? Because it doesn't need to sell to a human at all.
Yeah.
So we built this little flow internally, and it was just like, would generate for you an SEO website that was actually just a markdown file with an API, right? And like, that was literally the outcome. So he, like, SEO today is like pretty pictures and like telling you stuff. Yeah. And then like SEO tomorrow is like markdown file with well-documented API for agent. And that, and like, this is one of the ideas we were kicking around for, like, new types of SEO pages to help people generate. Just
have you seen any traction on that?
No. And I think the biggest reason is because OpenAI and Anthropic are not doing ads inside their app. Does that make sense? So that there's not really a market yet for paying for clicks.
Yeah.
But like for agents, but it's probably coming. And then there's a couple of new marketplaces. Skills.sh, if you haven't seen it, is worth checking out. If you're a domainer, because it's basically a list of all the different skills that people are using for Claude and Anthropic and other stuff like this. And all of these skills are basically telling agents how to do stuff, like how to connect a Postgres database, how to find a domain name, how to do this, how to do that. And if that's what agents are reading in the future for finding products, then those types of that might be where you need to be focusing on your SEO game, right? And so there's definitely changes. So yeah, I guess if you're that type of investor, you're probably good to wait 12 to 18 months to kind of see
I just see like two of our biggest customers are like, you know, very aggressive, big, I don't want to say SEO companies because they're not doing SEO for third parties. They only do it internally. They only do their own properties, but they own, you know, significant networks of properties that are all organic traffic driven. And both of them have expressed different ways of basically saying, you know, we're sort of in a wait and see on how SEO evolves over the next, you know, few months. So I think when we get clarity on that, and there will be a way forward, I think you're going to see another, like, literally, like, when I started my company, when we launched Media Options in 2000, I don't remember if it was 7 or 8, and I think it was 7. I think it's 20-year anniversary this year. Yeah. So, this was sort of the beginning of the massive SEO boom, and I built my company on SEO. I built my company on selling, you know, these exactmatch.org.net and .com domains. Sorry, what were you going to say?
I know the Rosner valuation method, right? So
yeah, that all came out of that. The approach to thinking about a domain and how to value it and what is the actual underlying value proposition that we can objectively value all came out of the SEO industry, all came out of understanding, what is the strategic advantage of a domain name? What is the underlying utility of it? And it's all about delivering people to your door. And so if that's the case, then the value of a domain is how much cheaper can we deliver people to your door? And so the ability to reduce cost of customer acquisition was literally the fundamental principle that drove my valuation methodology. Hmm. And so I think we're on the cusp of that next wave. You know, that was call it a 15-year mega boom. I mean, I can tell you, I have a decade of just absolute shits and giggles selling insane numbers of domains for crazy prices, but those prices were justified because you could very easily correlate. I will drive X amount of traffic. That traffic will have Y value, and I'll convert, you know, Z number of people into my product or service. And with that math, you can derive exactly what this domain is worth to you with a very narrow margin.
And we don't have that with the agent economy yet.
But we will.
Yeah, that's gonna, and that probably takes a couple of years. And I think the first thing you'll see is when they start putting ads in those models, that'll help because they're going to have to justify it, right? And they're going to have to explain how to do it. But they're delaying the ads, so it may take a year or two before we get there. So,
Yeah, Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've also seen this ability to you know, spin up a business or scale your business or, you know, sort of multiply your businesses. Also playing out with the Rick Schwartz Beanstalk Challenge, right? Where Rick's taking his domains and he's got builders that are building all sorts of stuff on his names. And you've got multiple builders building on a few names. So Team Hazen and, you know, we're following all of that closely. And obviously we think that's pretty cool and be very interesting to see how those go. But I don't know if you guys have kind of looked at all at the sites recently. I mean,
it's just all in line with exactly what we're talking about. It's like suddenly the ability to build a business on a great domain name went from like, you know, $100,000 table stakes to, you know, 10 hours and a $200 a month subscription.
That's really wild. And
I mean, that's basically the Beanstalk Challenge in a nutshell. Is like, here's where we are in the world today. And like, it's three components. You need one person that is hungry, eager, and competent. You need the AI tool. And you need a great domain name.
Boom.
And then you've got a business. I mean, that's it. You don't even need a lot of capital. You don't need really anything. You don't need analysts. You don't need researchers. You literally need those three components in most cases.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So, well, good stuff. All right. Well, look, we've only got a couple more minutes. Let's segue back around to Unstoppable. And Matt, what else is good? I mean, you guys obviously have rolled out a bunch of your tools. You guys are doing big sales on the platform. You're breaking personal records now, it seems like, on a regular basis. What else are you excited about? What else does everybody need to know about if you've got anything to share?
Well, I guess before July 1st is a great time to come check us out because we still got promotions running. We are normalizing our prices, right? So last year, if you came and you used us, you saved just a lot of money because we were trying.
Yep.
We've crossed 1 million domains under management now. All of our features, I think, were...
Yeah, Billy, hit him with some, come on, give him some stuff, give him some love.
That's big, man. 1 million domains on a
bench. Get some applause, let's get some fireworks.
It's kind of like, okay, you're a real business now.
And we have expired auctions, we're plugged in with DAX on their auction network, we have GoDaddy AFNIC, we have CDU, so we're at feature parity on all the things you need to be a domainer. We've got 10 licenses now behind the scenes, so we can actually process large transactions really quickly. You got 5,000 domain names that all need an update. We're fast. We're provisioning our own name servers now, keeping cost really low for registrations for people, under $11, and we're passing that on to domainers. So we built like a world-class domain name registrar. We have new products and which we're trying to differentiate ourselves in the market around AI, really help you get up SEO pages. That's kind of different. If you've got 500 domain names, they all need a website for SEO reasons. Check out the products that we offer. If you want to take your portfolio and you want to use advanced AI search with embeddings to try to find names that maybe you want to buy that match your portfolio, or if you want to find comparables for prices to help you get an idea of maybe what you should be listing your domains for, that's nice. You know, we're trying to build all these tools and lean into this direction of using all these LLMs to make your life easier as a domainer. And then we're also adding our retail product lines fun. So, you know, building small websites for businesses, as all registrars do, because those are the ultimate consumers of the domain names that you have as the guys who are launching and building these businesses. And we want to be part of that huge revolution that you're seeing with all these make it easy to launch your own website and business all over again. You know, maybe you saw that first wave 10 years ago with Shopify and so forth, and this is kind of like wave two, and it's 10x easier now with AI, and we're right there. So that's the big stuff, JT. And JT and Andrew, just thank you for having me on the show. I love chatting with you guys. We always go off topic, but I think in good ways.
This is great.
Talk about stuff. And, you know, domain industry, we're a small little niche. Everybody knows everybody. You guys have been real supportive for us the past couple of years as we moved over to ICANN, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Hey, happy to do it. And, you know, appreciate what you guys bring to the table. And we've always said, you know, your technical prowess and, you know, is needed. It's like a breath of fresh air in the space and, you know, kind of reconstructing some of the stuff while, you know, leaning into the you know, the Web 2 nature as well, I think is great. And excited to see, you know, where as you guys continue to grow and evolve.
Wait, hold on. Sorry. We never did discuss new GTLDs, but maybe you just got to come back on for that conversation.
New GTLDs. I mean, honestly, we're not discussing them. So,
okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we put our, you can look at our website. You can see what we plan to do. We've already said plenty of what we think. We've talked to everybody in the industry about where we're going and what we plan. And we're going to just keep moving forward in that direction. So, and
I saw you are on the working group though, with, that ICANN has appointed for, the integration of blockchain into the new GTLD program?
Yes, we are, along with like six other people.
Yeah.
And it's...
Do you think that's going to be a productive working group and productive conversation?
Yes, but you have to lean in, right? Because these, like, if you just ignore it, then you're not going to get anywhere. So you have to talk to ICANN. And ICANN is unfortunately really slow, and it's stupid expensive to get through all of this, all the red tape. And make sure that you do it right. But honestly, the DNS system has proven to be resilient, and that's the long-term system that's going to be here. And so if we want to integrate in our registries in the DNS system, we're going to be, you know, conforming to that rule set. And then as far as like features and other things, our take, and we've said this already publicly to that committee, is like, we want people to be able to experiment in blockchain and try new technology. So as long as we're respecting everything that DNS needs us to do, DNS should not be restricting trying to do new things with domains, like turn them into NFTs, use them as identifiers, use them for crypto wallets. That shouldn't bother, right? As long as we're not crossing. And so that's what the whole group is about, is making sure that there's, you know, the records are not going to be in conflict. And how we can make sure that that doesn't happen, and kind of how we regulate that. And I'll tell you, ICANN is, in some cases, they're like, oh, we want to be able to stop people from doing this. I'm like, well, right now you can't stop someone from hosting something on Amazon, right? And so there's, you know, trying to find the boundary with the regulator is always a discussion. But I think we're handling it well. And honestly, I'm just glad they're more open to crypto under this administration than I think that they were previously. And it's just, they just realize it's not a threat. Right. And when they thought it was a threat to them, they got really defensive. And now they realize, oh, actually, crypto is going to be a very small corner of the market for overall domains. Right. Maybe a productive corner, but just.
I mean, I would argue there's a future, you know, not tomorrow, but maybe a decade from now, where crypto is probably like the biggest riding wave of adoption for DNS and new domain applications.
Yeah, we'll have to see what people use for sending payments. Is it a domain
name? That's where it's going to come down to.
Yeah, is it some sort of agent identifier? Is it an email? We really don't know yet. But regardless, the domain name industry would benefit from having people experimenting, right? And that's what we're telling ICANN. It's like, you just, and they're, and honestly, they're on the same page. They're just like, okay, yeah, you guys want to have a sandbox where you guys can try new technology so that you can experiment with that. That's fine with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they just need to, they have to go through all the rules. And sometimes it's a little slower than we would like, but overall, I mean, they've been very good recently. So
yeah,
that's awesome. Well, it's all part of the process, man. I mean, ICANN is definitely not known to be fast when it comes to anything. They're very deliberate. They're very, a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of red tape. But, you know, the key is to get engaged and involved. I mean, that's the only, you know, it's one thing to sit back and complain about it. It's another thing to proactively be getting involved to try to help things along where you can. And it's great that you guys are doing that. And shout out to you guys and the other folks that are participating in that piece, because, you know, there's work to be done. So cool. All right.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. So with
that,
real quick, I want to say thank you to Matt for being on the show today. As always, it is much appreciated. Always fun. Always interesting. Drew, thank you for taking the time. This is a great show. And to the audience, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We say it on every show. Without you, there is no us. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. And we'll see everybody next time here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, y'all. We'll see you soon.